So we're reading from Lord Begins His Tour to South India, Madhya Lila, Chapter 7. Hey Mata Yandra Kare Kare Prabhu Bhiksha, Sei Achi Kahe Tandre Karayae Siksha. At whose ever house Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted his alms by taking prasadam, he would convert the dwellers to his Sankirtan movement and advise them just as he advised the Brahman named Kurma. So while touring South India, Mahaprabhu, according to his sannyas rules, he would ask alms from the householders. He would approach householders and they will invite him inside and offer him prasadam, garland, wash his feet. Standard procedure for accepting the saintly person. And every house who Mahaprabhu visited was converted into Vaishnava cult and chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Patiyaite devalaye rahe grame yandre ghare bhikshakare se mahajane kurme yache riti tache kaila sarvatani nilachali punak yavat naila gosani. While on his tour, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would spend the night at the temple or on the roadside. Whenever he accepted food from a person, he would give him the same advice he gave to Brahman named Kurma. He adopted his process until he returned to Jagannath Puri from his South Indian tour. Atayeva ihan kahilan kaya vistara hei mata janibi prabhura sarvatra vyavahara. Thus I have described the Lord's behavior elaborately in the case of Kurma. In this way, you will know Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dealings throughout South India. Ehi mata sei ratri tahani rahiya pratah kale prabhu snana kariya chalila. Thus Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would remain at night in one place and then next morning, after bathing, he would start again. Prabhuranu vrajji kurma bahudura aila prabhu tanre yattakari ghare pathaila. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, the Brahmana Kurma followed him a great distance. But eventually, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took care to send him back home. Vasudeva nama eka dvija mahashaya sarvange galita krushta tatikidamaya. There was also a Brahman named Vasudev, who was a great person, but was suffering from leprosy. Indeed, his body was filled with living worms. So external reason for Mahaprabhu visiting South India was to spread some Sankirtan movement in the southern part. And the southern part was heavily dominated by Madhavacharya Sampradaya, Dharmanujacharya Sampradaya. So Mahaprabhu went there visiting all the holy places, also visiting the places of pilgrimage of both Sampradayas and preaching the glories of holy name and the chanting of holy name. And every time he would stop and every person he would meet, he would ask them to chant the holy name and preach about Vaishnava, pure Vaishnava cult and pure bhakti. Angahaite ekida kshaya padaya uttana sei kidarake sei netaya. Although suffering from leprosy, the Brahman Vasudev was enlightened. As soon as one worm fell from his body, he would pick it up and place it back again in the same location. So this Brahman was very unusual. He was suffering from leprosy. And leprosy is when your body decomposes while you're still alive. It's a terrible disease. Like your fingers start falling out, your palms falling out, your ears, your nose. So you're still alive, but you're practically like a dead person, slowly decomposing till you pass away. So that was the situation of the Brahman. And since everything is open, the sores and wounds are open, so they're usually infested with worms because the flies would sit at them. They will put the eggs in the wound and then the worm would hatch. And you can imagine it was a terrible thing to see, terrible sight to see. But this Brahman, he was so compassionate to all the living beings that as soon as the worm would fell out from his wound, he would pick it up and place it back because he was afraid that the worm would have nothing to eat and will die before hatching. So that was the extreme tolerance and extreme humility Vasudev Brahman was showing to everyone. And he was extremely advanced in bhakti too. Ratrite sunila tenhu gosanira gamana dekibare aila prapate kurmira bhavana. Then one night Vasudev heard of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrival. And in the morning he came to see the Lord at the house of Kurma. Prabhura gamana kurma mukhyate sunina bhumite padila dukhe murchitahana. When the leper Vasudev came to Kurma's house to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was informed that the Lord has already left. The leper then fell to the ground unconscious. Aneka prakara vilapa karite lagira seikshani asi prabhu tandre alingila. When Vasudev, the leper Brahman, was lamenting due to not being able to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord immediately returned to that spot and embraced him. So it's knowing the heart of Vasudev, even though Mahaprabhu already left, knowing that his great devotee just came and experiencing, feeling a deep pain and separation from the Lord, Mahaprabhu returned to the house of Kurma and then he met Vasudev. Because for Vasudev to catch up with Mahaprabhu was impossible, because he was a leper. He was moving very slowly, he was always experiencing pain, all kind of discomfort. Like usually when we travel, we feel lots of discomfort. But you can imagine a person whose body is decomposing, traveling. That's a lot of discomfort. In fact, it's a hellish situation. So Mahaprabhu, being extremely merciful, returned to the house just to see Vasudev. Prabhu sparshe dukkha sange kushta duragela ananda sahite anga sundara haila. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched him, both the leprosy and the distress went to a distant place. Indeed, Vasudeva's body became very beautiful to his great happiness. Prabhura kripa dekhi tandra vismaya hailamana shlokapadi payedhari kareya stavana. The Brahman Vasudev was astonished to behold the wonderful mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he began to recite a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, touching the Lord's lotus feet. Paham daridram papiyam kva krishna shri niketana brahma vanduriti smaham bahumyam parimabhidam. He said, "Who I am, a sinful poor friend of a brahmana, and who is Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, full of in six opulences. Nonetheless, he has embraced me with his two arms." That was the verse spoken by Sudam Brahman when he was meeting Krishna. So we can see that Brahman was very learned and at the same time he possessed pure love for the Lord. So as soon as Mahaprabhu touched his body, even though he resisted, it's described that he didn't want Mahaprabhu touching his body because his body was unclean. Nevertheless, Mahaprabhu forced to embrace him, and as soon as he embraced him, the leprosy, the disease was gone. Everyone was very astonished, including Vasudev, of course. And immediately he started praising the Lord, reciting the shlokas from Srimad Bhagavatam. Bahu stuti karikahe sunadaya maya jive gunanahi tomate haya more dekhi more gandhe palaya pamara hena mora sparsha tumi svantara ishvara. The Brahman Vasudev continued, "O my merciful Lord, such mercy is not possible for ordinary living entities. Such mercy can be found only in you. Upon seeing me, even a sinful person goes away due to my bad bodily odor. Yet you have touched me. Such is the independent behavior of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kintu achilan bahalo antamahana ebe ahankara mora janibe ashiya. Being meek and humble, the Brahman Vasudev worried that he would become proud after being cured by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But this is the mood of the Vaishnava. If he receives any mercy, any special favor from Lord or his devotees, he is worried that he will become proud because of that. Some pratishtha will come. So sometimes we see that some glorification come to the Vaishnava, or like sometimes other Vaishnavas glorifying another, and that person become really disturbed by that. You can see it quite often with sincere devotees. They're disturbed because they don't want pratishtha to come. It was very hard to control. So they prefer to stay very humble and meek, and be in the shade instead of a spotlight. Sometimes we're going into the spotlight, but in that case, it has to be done only for the sake of the service of preaching. Then you can be in the spotlight to attract people to Krishna consciousness. That's what I'm saying. Куда ты йогурт потащила, Анга? Куда йогурт потащила? Prabhu kahe kabhu tomara nahabe abhimana nirantara kahutumi Krishna Krishna nama. To protect the Brahmana, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised him to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra incessantly. By doing so, he would never become unnecessarily proud. Krishna upadeshikara jivaranistara asirati Krishna toma karibenangikara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also advised Vasudev to preach about Krishna and thus liberate living entities. As a result, Krishna would very soon accept him as his devotee. So to prevent Vasudev, to protect him from becoming proud or gaining too much pratishtha and becoming a victim of that pratishtha, Mahaprabhu said, just chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra all the time and preach about Krishna, and then you will remain humble. Everything will come. Everything that will come to you, all the glories, all the pride, you can always offer to Vaishnavas and Krishna. Then everything will be harmonized. Then you will not suffer from excessive pride or pratishtha. Etekakahiya Prabhu Kaila Antardhane Dui Vipra Galagali Kande Prabhu Gane. After instructing the Brahman Vasudev in that way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared from that place. Then the two Brahmanas, Kurma and Vasudev, embraced each other and began to cry, remembering the transcendental qualities of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vasudevo Dhara Ei Kahila Akhyana Vasudeva Mrita Prada Haila Prabhu Nama. Thus I have described how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reclaimed the leper Vasudev and so received the name Vasudevamrita Prada. Etakahila Prabhura Pratanagamana Kurma Darashana Vasudeva Vimachana. Thus I end my description in the beginning of the tour of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is visiting the temple of Kurma and he is liberating the leper Brahman Vasudev. Shadda kari lila karisvarana achirate milayetare chaitanya acharana. One who hears these pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with great faith will surely very soon attain the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Chaitanya lilara adi antana hijani seiliki. Hey, Mahantera Mukhisuni, I admit that I do not know the beginning or the end of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. However, whatever I have written, I have heard from the mouth of great personalities. Itte aparattamora naloi obhaktagana toma sabaracharana mora ekantasarana. O devotees, please do not consider my offenses in this regard. Your lotus feet are my only shelter. Shri Rupa Raghunatha Pada Yara Asa Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Dasa. Praying at the lotus feet of Shri Rupa and Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following to their footsteps. Может вернуться обратно тогда. Сегодня какое число? 29 или 30?
30.
Сегодня 30. Тут
докладка
глава 6. Глава 6? Какой части?
42-м давно еще читал. Там супер, нам есть.
The next will be the chapter 8. Ramananda, somewhat talk between Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. Very, it's considered to be the essence of Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Any questions so far? Yesterday was installation of Madan Mohan in Dam Dam Park. Shri Guru Gauranga Radha Madan and Mohan.
Also, it was installation of Giriraj in Crimea.
And Giriraj in Crimea. That I do not know. I'm pretty sure you know better than me. Was it just installed or was it installed a while ago? So the Giriraj claimed the Crimea after all. First the Russians came, took it. Now first the Ukrainians took it, and Russians took it back. Now Giriraj took it to his own. And I got a phone call from Vijay Raman yesterday, who was riding our Crimean land on horses. There's 25 horses, he said. He was with Makanchor and other devotees, and they were riding the horses. He said there's more and more horses coming because the new ones are born. Now it's 25. And maybe that was the installation of Giriraj. Yes, he mentioned something, but I couldn't hear well.
Крыму?
Mm-hmm, в Крыму.
Вчера?
Вчера мне позвонил Виджай Роман.
Они завезли туда?
Да, я не расслышал толком. Он больше говорил про лошадей, правда.
Не, он много
говорил, когда он собирается
лучше.
Значит, там же какой-то храм есть маленький.
Но дом там был, старый еще, который они купили вместе сейчас.
Должен дальше читать или... Chapter 8, Talks between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. Санчарья Рама Бинджа Бхакта Мекхе Свабхакти Сиданджи Чаямритани Гаур Прабхир Этайр Амуна Витирнайс Джадна Ратналаятам Прайати. Шри Читани Махапрабху, who is known as Гауранга, is the ocean of all conclusive knowledge in devotional service. He empowered Sri Ramananda Rai, who may be likened to a cloud of devotional service. This cloud was filled with the water of all conclusive purports of devotional service and was empowered by the ocean to spread this water over the sea of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Thus the ocean of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became filled with the jewels of the knowledge of pure devotional service. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya, Jai Nityananda, Jai Dvaita Chandra, Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to Lord Nityananda, all glories to Advaita Acharya, and all glories to all the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Purvarete Prabhu Age Gamana Karila Jiyadanri Simha Kshetre Katadine Gela. According to his previous program, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went forward on his tour and after some days arrived at a place of pilgrimage known as Jiyadanri Simha. The Jiyadanri Simha temple is situated on the top of the hill about 5 miles from Vishakhapatnam. The temple known as Simhachala is the best temple in the vicinity of Vishakhapatnam. This temple is very affluent and is a typical example of architecture of the area. On one stone tablet it is mentioned that formerly a queen covered the deity with gold plate. This is mentioned in Visakhapatnam Gazetter. About the temple, there are residential quarters for the priests and devotees. Indeed, at the present moment, there are many residential quarters to accommodate visiting devotees. The original deity is situated within the depths of the temple, but there is another deity, a duplicate, known as Vijayamurti. The smaller deity can be moved from one temple to another or taken on a public procession. Priests who generally belong to the Ramanuja Sampradaya are in charge of the deity worship. I just read the purport about this particular place. Swami Maharaj is very precise in describing it. He gives perfect directions where to go, how to go, what station is nearby, what is it, I mean, all the recent events are described. It's actually quite amazing that he would remember pretty much any place that is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Swami Maharaj would give very elaborate description, where is it, and something that is obviously how it is connected with Mahaprabhu, but also some recent events or something that has happened there not so long time ago. Drisimha Dekhiya Kaila Dandavat Pranati Premaveshe Kaila Bahun Ritya Gita Stuti. Upon seeing the deity of Lord Narasingha in the temple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered his respectful obeisances by falling flat. Then in ecstatic love, he performed various dances, chanted and offered prayers. Sri Nrisimha Jai Nrisimha Jaya Jai Nrisimha Prakladeshe Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa. All glories to Nrisimhadev, all glories to Nrisimhadev, who is the Lord of Prahlad Maharaj, and like a honeybee is always engaged in beholding the lotus-like face of the goddess of fortune. Ugrop Anuga Evayam Svabhaktanam Drikeshari Kesharivasva Patanam Aneshyam Ugra Vikram. Although very ferocious, the lioness is very kind to their cubs. Similarly, although very ferocious to non-devotees like Hiranyakashipu, Lord Narasimhadev is very, very soft and kind to devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. Ehi Mata Nana Sloka Padi Stuti Kaila Nrisimha Sevakamala Prasada Ani Dila. In this way, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited different verses from the Shastra. The priest of Lord Narasimhadev then brought garlands and the remnants of lotus of Lord's food and offered them то Шри Читани Махапрабху. Пурбават коне випракайла нимантрана сей ратри тахан рахи карилагамана. As usual, a brahmana offered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu an invitation. The Lord passed the night in the temple and then commenced his tour again. Prabhate utiya prabhu charila primaveshe dik vidik nahidjani ratri divavese. The next morning, in a great ecstasy of love, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started on his tour with no knowledge of the proper directions. And he continued the whole day and night. Purvavat Vaishnavakari Sarvalokagane Godavari Tire Prabhu Ailakatajine. As previously, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converted to Vaishnavism many people he met on the road. After some days, the Lord reached the banks of the river Godavari. Godavari Dekhi Haila Yamuna Smarana Tirevana Dekhi Smite Haila Vrindavana. When he saw the river Godavari, the Lord remembered the river Jamuna. And when he saw the forest on the banks of the river, he remembered Sri Vrindavan Dham. Saiva Nikatta Kshana Karin Rityagana Godavari Parahana Tahan Kailasnana. After performing his usual chanting and dancing for some time in the forest, the Lord crossed the river and took his bath on the other bank. Gatachari Katadure Jala Sanitane Vasi Prabhu Kari Krishna Nama Sankirtane. After bathing in the river, the Lord walked a little distance from the bathing place and engaged in chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Henakali Dolayachari Ramanandaraya Snanakari Bari Aila Bhajanabhayaya. At that time, accompanied by the sound of music, Ramananda Rai came there on a palanquin to take his bath. Tandrasangi Bahu Aila Vaidika Brahmana Vidimate Kaila Tenho Snanadi Tarpana. Many Brahmanas following the Vedic principles accompanied Ramananda Rai. According to Vedic rituals, Ramananda Rai took his bath and offered oblations to his forefathers. Prabhu Tanre Dekhi Janila Ramaraya Tanhare Milite Prabhu Mana Uttidaya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand that the person who had come to bath in the river was Ramananda Rai. The Lord wanted so much to meet him that his mind immediately began running after him. And this was one of the also main reasons for Mahaprabhu visiting South India in order to meet Ramananda Rai. And as we know, they have this conversation, very deep devotional conversation that is glorified these days. And as I mentioned, it's considered to be the essence of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the essence of the scripture and the essence of devotion was discussed between Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. And then later on, Mahaprabhu would ask Ramananda Rai to join him in Jagannath Puri so that Ramananda Rai will remain there during the Lord's final pastimes and accompany the Lord during the most intimate pastimes. So actually, his last years of his final pastimes he spent in the company of Swarupa Damodara and Ramananda Rai. Only two of them that were the most close and most intimate associates of the Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Ramananda Rai at that time, he was employed by the king. He held a high position in the government. So as you can see, as when he arrived to the banks of Godavari River, he was accompanied by musicians, the brahmanas who recited Vedic hymns. He was on top of the palanquin, was a very important person. It was a VIP arrival. There was no coincidence that Mahaprabhu was there. Mahaprabhu knew well that Ramananda Rai would come here, and immediately he recognized him. Even though from the mundane point of view, Mahaprabhu never met him. But this is the mystery of Aprakrita Lila. When Lord appears like he is one of us, very much like one of us, especially in Mahaprabhu case, somehow. Of course, he looks like a very extraordinary person or performs some extraordinary pastimes, but from the first sight, you see a very attractive, extremely attractive personality. But he appeared in a human body, and he took sannyas. So we can say it, you know, how can we understand that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? This is why it's called a Prakriti. It looks mundane, and at the same time, it is not. It is beyond the mundane. So, just to stress that point, so that we wouldn't mistake, it is mentioned that he is a Prakriti, beyond the mundane, even though he looked like one of us. Still, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Surya Satta Samakanti Arunavasana Subalita Prakananda Deha Kamala Lachana. Sri Ramananda Rai then saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be as brilliant as 100 suns. The Lord was covered by a saffron garment. He was large in body and very strongly built, and his eyes were like lotus petals. Dekhya Tanharamane Haila Chamatkara Asiya Karila Dandavata Namaskara. When Ramananda Rai saw the wonderful sannyasi, he was struck with wonder. He went to him and immediately offered his respectful obeisances, falling down flat like a rod. Utti Prabhu Kahe, Utta Kaha Krishna Krishna, Tare Alingite Prabhura Hridaya Satrishna. The Lord stood up and asked Ramananda Rai to arise and chant the holy name of Krishna. Indeed, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very eager to embrace him.
They did meet.
Oh, he didn't know, like he didn't meet before this particular meeting, but Mahaprabhu recognized immediately. He knew, being a Supreme Personality of Godhead, he knew this is the Ramananda Rai. So everything was like we talked the other day. Everything is arranged for Krishna Lila, for his own purpose, for his own, according to his own desires. So whatever happens is not a coincidence, it's not just a chance. Oh, Mahaprabhu was so lucky, or Ramananda Rai was so lucky to meet Mahaprabhu, and likewise. It was already, in a way, prearranged. Utti Prabhu Kahe Utta. Okay, we read that. Tathapi Puchila Tuma Raya Ramananda Tenhokahi Sehana Dasa Sudramanda. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then inquired whether he was a Ramananda Rai. And then he replied, "Yes, I am your very loved servant, and I belong to the Shudra community." Tabetare Kaila Prabhu Dritta Alingana Premareshi Prabhu Britya Donhi Achitana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced Sri Ramananda Rai very firmly. Indeed, both the master and the servant almost lost consciousness due to ecstatic love. Svabhavika prema donhara udaya karila dunha alingiye dunhe bhumite padila. Their natural love for each other was awakened in them both, and they embraced and fell to the ground. Tambasveda Asurkampa Pulaka Vaivaranya Dunhara Muketasuni Gangada Krishna Varna. When they embraced each other, ecstatic symptoms, paralysis, perspiration, tears, shivering, paleness, and standing up of the bodily hairs appeared. The word Krishna came from their mouth falteringly. So as soon as they met each other, there was immediate recognition between them. Of course, we have to remember that Ramananda Rai is none other than Vishakha, one of the dearmost friends and associates of Srimati Radharani. And as soon as Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai touched each other, they all exhibited ecstatic emotions at the same time. And as it mentioned in this verse, they couldn't even say Krishna clearly. it was faltering. Dekya Brahmana Gangara Haite Chamatkara Vividika Brahmana Sabha Karinavichara. When the stereotyped ritualistic Brahmanas who were following the Vedic principles saw the ecstatic manifestations of love, they were struck with wonder. All these Brahmanas began to reflect as follows. So he was followed by all the Brahmanas who were, you know, you have to remember South India. South India is the capital, is the place for the Vaidhi Bhakti rituals, the really love the rituals over there, Vedic rituals. If you want to learn anything about Vedic rituals, we should go to South India. They will teach you how to do the fire sacrifices, how to dress properly for that, how to chant mantras properly for that, what should be offered, all the small details you can get there. They're very ritualistic in South India. So all those Brahmanas were following the Vedic principles very strictly. But what Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai showed during their meeting, those ecstatic emotions were far beyond what they can read in the Vedas. I mean, they can get some hints of that is possible, but they never witnessed these emotions, deep ecstatic emotions due to the love of God exhibited in the bodies of course, Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Ramananda Rai, both of them, they exhibited them. So they were struck with wonder. Eta sanyasira tejja dekki brahma sama sudre alingiye kena karina kandana. The Brahmanas thought, we can see that this sannyasis has a luster like the effulgence of Brahman. But how is it that he is crying upon embracing a Shudra, a member of the fourth caste in the social order? So Ramananda Rai was a civil servant. He was employed by the government, so he was considered to be on the lower position. So following the Brahmanas were stereotyped, like it is mentioned. They thought, how is that possible? The higher caste person can experience so much ecstatic emotions and even touch a lower caste person. That was impossible at that time. Even to this day in India, they're following that system, in South India especially. When Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur introduced the Brahman initiation, the second Diksha initiation, he was heavily criticized by those so-called smart Brahmanas who had a very stereotyped vision based on very basic Vedic principles that they would follow strictly, and they understood nothing about devotion. So naturally they started criticizing, how is it possible that you are giving the Brahman thread to a Shudra, or sometimes even to Mlecha. Even Swami Maharaj, when he went to the West, he was criticized even at that time. And how is that possible? You're giving, you know, initiations, yeah, that is okay. Mahaprabhu is giving to everybody Hare Krishna Mahamantra, but now you're giving Diksha, you're giving the Brahman thread to Mlechas. They're not even Shudras, they're outcasts. That is unheard of. How is that possible? So he received lots of criticism as well. But then we have to understand that the Vaishnavas are higher than any caste or any mundane consideration. The Vedic principles based on the caste systems, they have nothing to do with Vaishnavism, with bhakti, with pure love of Krishna. There is no connection whatsoever. Vaishnavas are beyond that. So what Brahmanas were witnessing right now somehow was revolutionizing their consciousness. Because we have to remember that was 500-600 years ago. And they were very precise in their following. Mahaprabhu was, yeah, he appeared in the Brahman family. But Ramananda Rai was considered to be a Shudra. Ramananda Rai. Because he was a civil servant. Even though he occupied a higher position and was widely respected from the mundane point of view, still he was considered to be a Shudra by the caste.
And he was one of the copies.
Yeah, he was one of the most гостинцем, это Соши, Соши Матери Радхарани. Another one was Swarupa Damodar, who was Lalita, and Ramananda Rai was Vishakha Gopi, the closest to Srimati Radharani. So later on, Mahaprabhu will spend his last pastimes years in the company of Lalita and Vishakha, Swarupa Damodar and Ramananda Rai. Eita sannyasira tejja dekki brahma sama sudre alingi ekene karena karandana. The Brahmanas thought, we can see that this sannyasi has a luster like in the effulgence of Brahman, but how is it he is crying upon embracing a Shudra, a member of the fourth class in the social order? E Maharaja Maha Pandita Gambira Sannyasira Sparshamatta Hailas Thira. They thought, this Ramananda Rai is a governor of Madras, a highly learned and grave person, a Mahapandit, but upon touching this sannyasi, he has become restless like a madman. So we can see that Ramananda Rai occupied really high position. He was a governor of a Madras. That was an important port city in India. Even though he was serving under the king, still, it was pretty much the highest position you can get after the king himself. He was very well respected. Эй мата випрагана бхави мане мана вьяттия лока декки прабу кайла самварана. While the Brahmanas were thinking in that way about the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw those outsiders and restrained their transcendental emotions. And this restrained his transcendental emotions. So when Mahaprabhu noticed that there are other people around him, Brahmanas and whoever was there, accompanying Sri Ramananda Rai, he controlled himself. He suppressed his ecstatic emotions. Didn't want it to show, because by seeing those emotions, those people might mistake them for some mundane they might think that, oh, this person is faking something very high. And without a proper understanding, without understanding Mahaprabhu's position as a Supreme Personality of Godhead, those people might commit offense. So for the sake of those people, Mahaprabhu restrained himself and controlled his emotions. Sustahana dukhese sthaneta vasila tabihasi Mahaprabhu kahite lagila. When they regained their sanity, they both sat down, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and began to speak as follows. Sarvabhama Bhattacharya Kahila Tamaragune Tamare Milita Mora Karyalayatane. Sarvabhama Bhattacharya spoke of your good qualities, and he made a great endeavor to convince me to meet you. Toma Milibari Mora Etta Agamana Balahaila Anase Pailun Darashana. Indeed, I have come here just to meet you. It is very good that even without making an effort, I have gotten your interview here. Rayakahe sarvabhama kari britya jana paroksheha morahite hayasavadhana. Ramananda Rai replied, Sarvabhama Bhattacharya thinks of me as his servant. Even in my absence, he is very careful to do me good. Basically, taking a very humble position, Ramananda Rai said that I consider Sarvabhama Bhattacharya to be my master and I'm his servant. I understand why he was saying all these good things about me. Whatever you heard was for my own benefit, so that you can come and I can meet, I can have your darshan, then I will be benefited. So I can see why Sarvabhama Bhattacharya is taking care of his servant. He is always wishing good to his juniors. So that's thinking of Ramananda Rai. Tanra kripaya painu tamara darashana aji supala haila mora manushya jamana. By his mercy I have received your interview here. Consequently, I consider that today I have become a successful human being. Sarvabhaume tomara kripa tara eichina aspirishya sparshilehana tanra premadhina. I can see that you have bestowed special mercy upon Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Therefore, you have touched me, although I am untouchable. This is due only to his love for you. Kahantumi Sakshat Ishvara Narayana Kahan Muni Rajasevi Vishaya Sudradhama. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana himself, and I am only a government servant interested in materialistic activities. Indeed, I am the lowest among men of the fourth class. Mora sparchena karile grina vedabhaya mora darashana toma vedanishidhaya. You do not fear the Vedic injunctions stating that you should not associate with Shudra. You were not contemptuous of my touch, although the Vedas although in Vedas it is forbidden to associate with Shudras. As we talked before, Ramananarai is mentioning again that you touched me or embraced me, but according to the Vedic tradition, I belong to a lowest caste, and actually you're, as a sannyasi and been born in a Brahmin family and considered to be a Brahmin son, cannot touch me. If you do that, then you are contaminated. That's the Vedic injunction. So it shows us again, the devotion is higher, inconceivably higher than any of the Vedic injunctions. This is why Mahaprabhu didn't hesitate embracing Vimalendra. Of course, there are many other reasons to that, but from the external point of view, for the benefit of all those associates, the brahmanas who came with Ramanandarai, he wanted to show that devotion is above anything that is said in Vedas according to rules and regulations and rituals. It's way superior to that. Tadas Mahaprabhu was giving these lessons to the smarter brahmanas who followed Ramanandarai. He was the governor of Madras. He was pretty much the boss of the city. So even though the Brahmanas were a higher caste, still he was the governor. So he had the power to order people to do something. So he was naturally respected in that way. So when he came to the Godavari River, he came for the purpose of taking bath and offer oblations. Offerings, like in China they do, they burn the money, for example, to give it to the forefathers or deceased ones. So Ramanandarai appeared on the banks of Godavari, followed by the Brahmanas who were reciting auspicious hymns or prayers, Vedic shlokas, for that particular occasion. And then he offered the oblations to the forefathers and took a bath in the Godavari River. Godavari River is one of the holy rivers in India, South India. So for that you need the Brahmana. And since Ramanandarai wasn't a Brahman, so he invited other Brahmins to create this auspicious atmosphere for that particular ritual, particular ceremony. That's why they were following him. But naturally he was also followed by the servants, by the musicians. We have to imagine he's a very important person.
Why musicians?
Because they could, first of all, it's auspicious to play particular tunes, particular music during a particular ceremony. That's one thing. Another thing, that when the governor is moving, going from his, let's say, office or palace outside of the city, everyone could hear that he is approaching. And they would know that, okay, the governor of the city is coming. So they would t- take necessary precautions or pay attention, pay respects to that person. It was more like an announcement at the same time. And he was traveling in a palanquin. Like right now we see when the prime minister of this country travels, it's in a very fancy cars and he has this entourage. There will be 5 cars ahead and 5 cars behind and lots of news reporters behind. Not so much music these days, but still. There's always an entourage, a group of people that follow these VIPs, very important personalities. So this is why he was accompanied. And for the sake of the ceremony, he also invited the Brahmanas, who would guide him through the process of this particular ritual of offering oblations, or offerings to the forefathers. Anyway, we'll stop reading here. Any questions?
The descriptions of Mahaprabhu, that he convert everyone into Vaishnavism and force everyone to chant holy name, even animals. So why it was not so with these Brahmins, with these Kasta Brahmins?
Well, we could say that simple people, simple-hearted people and animals are more innocent. Since they're very innocent, they're more easily, they have a better chance to accept that gift. Open-heartedly, simple-heartedly, they would accept it. But smarter Brahmins were somehow contaminated by Vedic injunctions, Vedic rituals, traditions and rules. But even though they could see that, like in this particular case, these both personalities were unusual. They knew Ramananda Rai, they knew that he was a pandit, he was a devotee of the Lord, but they never saw him exhibiting such intense ecstatic symptoms. And even though there were just, you know, Brahmanas who would strictly follow regulative principles of the Vedas, they could recognize those ecstatic symptoms because they are described in the Vedas and they are the signs of the great personalities. So they were not so stupid. They could understand that both of them are very unusual personalities. And even Ramananda Rai, even though we know him as the governor of our city, it's turned out that he is much more than we knew. But still, since they were contaminated by their not appreciation of pure devotion, or maybe simply not knowing much about it, they couldn't immediately accept and surrender to Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. They couldn't understand who Mahaprabhu was. And Mahaprabhu wouldn't reveal them his identity because they were not ready for that. But simple-hearted devotees like Kurma or Vasudev, I mean, that was obvious. They were looking for Mahaprabhu and they recognized the position of Mahaprabhu, they knew who he was. And they were simple-hearted, open-hearted, they were ready to accept what Mahaprabhu came to give. So Mahaprabhu would eagerly and happily give it to them. Even, it was interesting that even the Muslims, like we read in the beginning and during the middle pastimes of Mahaprabhu, sometime the Muslims come and they meet Mahaprabhu and they couldn't stop. Their heart would become overwhelmed and they kept chanting Krishna, Krishna, and they couldn't help themselves. They hated it at the same time, they were confused, but they couldn't stop. We can also say that they are rather simple-hearted, even though they were Muslims, they were non-believers, but with simple heart they approached Mahaprabhu and understanding and recognizing him as a great personality, they offered their respects too. Like there was one story that we'll probably read later about one Muslim ruler who wanted to know who Mahaprabhu was. So he dressed as a regular man and then he met Mahaprabhu and practically he was converted because he understood that Mahaprabhu is a very unusual and great saint. And in Islam there is also some saints there. They understand the position of saints. They have some respects for saints. We're not talking about radical Islam, we're talking about traditional original teachings of Islam. They had saints as well, and they could recognize saintly person in other religions, and they would offer their respects to that person. And if they had sincere and simple heart, then Krishna would enter their heart. So that was also happening. So this is one of the reasons why we're not so advised on or recommended to study the Vedas or scriptures in general. Not too much studying, especially Vedic scriptures. They're very confusing, contradictory sometimes. Yes, they were considered to be amlechas or yavanas, meat eaters, outcasts. Yes.
I'm just wondering how the
Shudra
person can reach this higher position of the Amlechas, if he was in this caste system, if it was really so long time ago.
Qualifications. Yeah, because the smart ruler, experienced ruler, he would recognize the qualities. So once the qualities are recognized and confirmed on the practice, they would just keep promoting that person. It's a simple thing actually. Not in relation to Ramananda Rai, but in general. It was very convenient for a king to have someone who is experienced ruler, experienced in politics and governing the people, and also well respected by the people. Of course, those people were promoted to the higher posts. Right now, it's different. Right now, money is the criteria. Vaishnavas are not interested in politics. More interested in serving the lotus feet of the devotees and Lord Krishna. No politics. And whatever comes, we accept and we keep serving. It's like bad weather. Sometimes weather is good, sometimes weather is bad. It doesn't mean we have to stop serving and wait till sun comes out. We serve in any circumstances. In fact, more difficulties come, then more devotion will arise in our heart. More necessity to surrender will come. Like in her prayers, Queen Kunti was saying that I want to invite more and more difficulties into my life. Let them come. If we're too much relaxed or we're too comfortable, we tend to forget about Krishna. This is nature, like human nature. But when we're in a trouble or some difficult situation, then immediately we're starting praying to the Lord for protection or guidance and seeking the Vaishnava association. Otherwise, we're happy on our own. Sitting somewhere on the beach, drinking coconuts. The weather is good, it's warm all the time. Everything is green, the birds are singing. Yes. So some discomfort is good. It gives you more chance for surrendering. I remember when we were preaching and sometime coming back to the temple. The temple was like home. It was like the shelter. That was our ultimate shelter. That's where we actually felt like we're safe, very comfortable. Prasadam is on time, the arati, all the devotees are there, you can have so much association. But after a short while, we would get too soft, too much relaxation. Even though we're in the temple, we're participating in the whole program, we feel that something is off. We're getting used to it, where instead of serving, we're becoming the enjoyers, the ones who are served. And at that moment, we would always leave the temple and travel somewhere to preach. And once we're preaching somewhere, traveling, and we meet all kind of difficulties and all kind of discomforts, and naturally all kind of people. So once you're in a out of comfort zone, then you're forced to surrender, you're forced to remember about Krishna, Guru, Vaishnavas, and then by meeting other people, since you are in that particular mood, you are more convincing to them when you're talking about Krishna, because this is something that you're trying to embrace in your heart, and they could sense it as well, that you're sincere in your efforts. It is a very good thing to do. Sometime go travel and preach. But after a while, of course, you wear out, and then you'll have to come back again to recharge your batteries. That's why we ask our Chinese devotees who are engaged in the preaching in China to regularly come and, you know, get the association and then go back to China and keep preaching, keep spreading Krishna consciousness. Any more questions?
What's the relationship between Sarvabhauma Acharya and Ramantarai before? Because Sarvabhauma, he mentioned that previously he loved.
Yeah, he heard. He heard from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya about Ramananda. But that's again on the external, from the external point of view, because understanding the spiritual identity of Ramananda Rai will harmonize everything. And since he was a very close associate of Srimati Radharani, there was no necessity for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to tell Mahaprabhu about Ramananda Rai, who he was, and about his qualities. Mahaprabhu already knew everything, and that's from the absolute point of view. But from another point of view, it is mentioned that the father of Ramananda Rai, the father of both from the Puri area, so they had a relationship with the family of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya knew Ramananda Rai since he was pretty much a child. But details of their relationship I haven't heard. It is not actually described in Chaitanya Charitamrita in details, nor in Srimad Bhagavat, sorry, in Bhagavat, Chaitanya Bhagavat. There is no description or elaboration what the relationship were, when they meet, no description of their meetings so much. But we know that the whole family was residing either in Puri or near Puri. And they were all engaged in civil service. They served the king. They were part of the king government, basically. And all of them were devotees of Mahaprabhu. So we can understand that he was posted by the king to rule that particular area in South India, and then upon request of Mahaprabhu he would return to Jagannath Puri